A U.S. Senate committee has opened an investigation into the announced merger of the PGA Tour and its competitor, LIV Golf. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut opened the inquiry, raising concerns about LIV Golf being owned and operated by the public investment fund managed by the Saudi Arabian government. He and other critics of the merger cite Saudi Arabia's involvement in 9/11 and the assassination of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, along with human rights issues. When the two golf leagues were competitors, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan joined in the rebuke of the Saudi involvement in LIV Golf. But now he says the merger will help grow the sport and better compensate the players with new money invested.
I recognize that people are going to call me a hypocrite. And anytime I've said anything, I said it with the information I had at that moment. And I said it based on someone that's trying to compete for the PGA Tour and our players. And so I accept those criticisms, but circumstances do change. And I think that, you know, in looking at the big picture and looking at it this way, that's what got us to this point.
Monahan sent a letter to Congress last week telling lawmakers they didn't do enough to support the PGA Tour in fending off LIV Golf from taking over the sport. The controversy surrounding the merger, which has not yet been finalized, is leading to broader conversations about the geopolitics surrounding sports and some of the legal issues, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this planned merger between the PGA Golf Tour and LIV Golf? If you're a fan of professional golf, how do you think it could affect the sport? If you're not a golf fan, how do you feel about Saudi Arabia's increasing involvement in a major U.S. sport? Do you think Congress or federal antitrust regulators should try and stop this deal? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Matthew Mitten is a professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Pleasure to join you.
Well, this was a big twist, Matt. These were competitors to the death, it looked like, for a moment, legal disputes, antitrust actions, international accusations flying here. Now they're best of friends at a merger. Were you surprised at how quickly this turned around?
Yeah, very much so. It's, you know, relatively rare and might be unprecedented where two parties and, you know, fight to the death, antitrust litigation, agree to a merger and resolving it. I can't really think of anything similar in recent years off the top of my head.
Let's talk about the antitrust part of this. This is one of the big legal issues. Now, LIV Golf, the Saudi Arabian-backed golf outfit, was going to challenge PGA for retaliating against golfers who left that tour, went over to LIV Golf, in part under antitrust law. Okay, well, now they're merged together, and some people are saying, hey, wait a minute, isn't this an antitrust issue too? What do you think?
Yeah, I think in many ways, you know, the merger, although the parties aren't characterizing as this, they're clearly joining forces. And as I understand it, the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund is going to put, you know, $2 to $3 billion in the pot. The chairperson who oversees that is going to be the CEO of the combined company. But yet the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, is going to have, you know, supposedly effective control there. So I think in many ways, you know, the settlement, the merger, whatever you want to call it, likely presents more significant antitrust issues than the litigation that initially the LIV players brought against the PGA for not permitting players to effectively play in, you know, the PGA Tour if they were, you know, signed a contract with LIV, and then that was subsequently the players kind of dropped out of that as plaintiffs, and then LIV was the plaintiff bringing that. So, you know, definitely antitrust issues, both sides, but I think there could be more significant ones based upon this settlement.
Now, yeah, settlement, probably a better word than merger, I guess, but it also speaks to the weird structure. You've got the PGA, which is a nonprofit, but I guess a pretty profitable one, And then you've got the major tournaments that affiliate only with the PGA. And now you've got LIV Golf. Can you talk about the structure and just the legal maybe weirdness of it here?
Yeah, it's, I guess it's not been finalized, but essentially the world's major, you know, men's golf tours are now under the same umbrella and common ownership and control. So the PGA Tour, LIV Golf, and then also the European Tour. So that's the type of thing where, you know, does raise some pretty significant antitrust issues that the antitrust division of the Department of Justice is going to, you know, take a look at. You know, we had three separate tours, and now they've been combined into an entity in which there is going to be common control. And it, from what I've read, it's the PGA Tour Commissioner who is going to, you know, be making the decisions as to, for example, does the LIV Tour continue to exist after the current season?
People may scratch their heads when they hear that the PGA itself is a nonprofit organization, which, of course, affects their tax status. Is that typical for a major sports league like that?
Yeah, that's not really uncommon. For, you know, quite a while, the National Football League was structured as, you know, a nonprofit entity, which only would mean that the legal the legal entity, I'm not a tax person, is not paying the taxes, but someone else is. It would be, you know, the clubs, for example, the NFL clubs. The players clearly are going to be paying income tax on their prize winnings. But it, you know, tax issues are, you know, one of the most significant factors that determine how a professional sports league or, you know, association, for example, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, is, you know, the legal entity itself. The NCAA is structured as a nonprofit. So that isn't all that uncommon.
Talking to Matthew Mitten, professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University, looking at this big merger in the golf world, the PGA Tour, and this newer LIV or LIV Golf League funded by Saudi Arabian money. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions, thoughts, reactions to the settlement, the combo there, 800-642-1234. Matt, here comes the Senate now, an inquiry here based largely on, I think, on the role of Saudi Arabia in this LIV Golf Tour. What are your thoughts on, you know, congressional committee, a congressional inquiry into this proposed deal?
Well, that's not at all surprising to me, because this is the committee that's chaired by Senator Blumenthal, and it looks very closely at, you know, foreign investment in various industries within the United States. Of course, when, as you can imagine, you know, if you get a foreign entity or funds, and typically whoever is providing the funding has control over certain, you know, industries, ones that could be, you know, critical to, let's say, U.S., you know, defense. So they'd be looking very closely if someone's going to, you know, acquire controlling interest in Boeing or any, you know, military equipment suppliers. What's interesting about this is golf, of course, is part of the entertainment industry. And apparently this committee not only has jurisdiction to look at, well, what are going to be the effects on U.S. interests, but, you know, which they'll look at and they'll say, well, I've seen there's some concern that since there are PGA Tour events held on golf courses close to U.S. military installations. So that is a concern. and then also the broader issue of, you know, Saudi Arabia's rather abhorrent, you know, human rights abuses over the years.
Do you think it's likely that Congress will find grounds to enact laws to block or limit this new combination of these golf leagues, or that antitrust regulators would find cause to stop this deal from happening?
I think it's more likely that if this deal doesn't go through, or if there's some significant modifications required, it's going to be as a result of antitrust scrutiny by the Department of Justice rather than any congressional action. I think there'll be some hearings, but, you know, when it comes to Congress, it's, you know, the mantra after all is said and done, there's always a lot more said than done. I think that is going to be the likely result. I don't think we'll see any specialized legislation. You know, there'll be some, you know, the PGA Tour and officials, Commissioner Monahan, there'll be hearings, his feet will be held to the fire, a whole host of things. But because this is, you know, an entertainment industry rather than something that involves self-defense or another essential industry, I think less likely that it'll be resolved by legislation, perhaps more likely by some threatened, you know, action taken by the antitrust division, or even maybe a lawsuit that could result.
We're talking to Marquette University sports law professor Matt Mitten about the PGA Tour, the big name in the golf world, merging with LIV Golf, which is a upstart challenger at first, and the controversy surrounding the partnership with the Saudi Arabian-funded sports enterprise. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Any pro golf fans out there, are you following this story? What do you think about this apparent resolution to the conflict? Do you have questions about the laws surrounding all of this or opinions surrounding Saudi Arabian involvement in a big American sports outfit? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You could also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Matt Mitten, professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University, with us today to talk about the Saudi-backed LIV Golf merging with the PGA Tour, some of the ethical, the legal questions that surround it all. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about Saudi Arabia's involvement with professional golf in the U.S.? What questions do you have about this deal? How would you like to see this all play out? Call in at 800-642-1234. If you're a golf fan, love to hear what you think of all of this. 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Mike is with us in Wauwatosa. Mike, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Mike?
I believe that Saudi Arabia, with their human rights issues, shouldn't be influencing or any other country in professional sports in the United States. They're just throwing a bunch of money in there, and I think the guy head of the PGA just took, obviously they gave him money and just took the money and ran.
Mike,
he did.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Matt, Mike saying doesn't like seeing that Saudi Arabian involvement, thinks the PGA head took the money and ran. What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. They made a business decision. You know, apparently it was costing, you know, millions of dollars to defend this case. They might have lost it. And when the opportunity arose for, you know, very substantial funding, then it shifted to, well, hey, this is in the business interests of the PGA Tour and its players, kind of the idea, if you can't beat them, we'll join them. And the whole idea of, well, we just, you know, don't want to get into bed, so to speak, with a, you know, sovereign entity, this fund that really has this despicable record of human rights abuses. It looks to be just purely an economic decision that Commissioner Monahan and some others felt was in the best interests of the PGA Tour.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Matt, when this was all going down, before this deal was announced, you had some PGA players going to this LIV Golf Tour for big money, the PGA trying to stop them, threatening, you know, hey, you can't play at our gigs anymore. Well, now you've got this deal, and some players who stuck with the PGA, maybe turned down big paydays, might be scratching their heads. Could they potentially have legal recourse if the PGA doesn't sweeten the deal for them?
You know, I don't think so, because, you know, presumably these same, you know, the players who chose to stay on the PGA Tour had a choice. And, you know, they probably realized that they could have made a lot more money just in what are essentially appearance fees to play on the LIV Tour. But from what I've read is the players who stayed with the PGA Tour, they end up coming out of this okay, because there's apparently some consideration being given to them getting equity shares in this new entity, one, and that may well be substantial, because after all, if the PIF is putting, you know, $2 to $3 billion into the pot, that's a lot of money. And then the other thing is that the players who went to the LIV Tour, they'll all need to individually apply for reinstatement to the tour. And there may well be some financial penalties as, you know, a condition of reinstatement. So this could end up, you know, the PGA players who stayed, you know, might be close to the same position, or at least not any worse off than those who left for the LIV Tour.
Talking to Matt Mitten, professor of law, executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University, looking at this big dramatic story in the world of pro golf, a big money story with the PGA, the longstanding tour, effectively combining operations with LIV Golf, a challenger funded by Saudi Arabian-backed money. Still time for you to join in if you have a reaction or questions at 800-642-1234. Matt, we've seen questions, controversies in other leagues in the past when it comes to, say, the NBA keeping players from criticizing politics in China, for example, worried about offending a very large potential market for a sport. Do you see a difference between a story like that and a story like this, where it's not just, you know, worrying about a Saudi Arabian market, but being heavily funded by, in effect, an operation of the Saudi Arabian government?
Well, I think it all falls under the thing is that, you know, every professional sports league and organization is first and foremost an economic entity. And they do tend to look out for their economic interests. It's really the same thing here. It's, you know, kind of shades of the same color, so to speak. And, you know, there's always been an uneasy mix between sports and politics. There's never been a clear separation. We don't really have it in other industries also. There is, you know, Saudi investment in a whole range of companies. It just doesn't get as much attention like sports does.
This is an agreed deal. There's a lot of things to be worked out, some potential challenges. What are some of the big questions you have, Matt, as these two, I guess, three entities, counting the European Tour, hash out exactly how this thing is going to work?
Well, one we, you know, I mentioned already is, you know, one of the things motivating this is that at least the PGA Tour wants to have, with its tournaments, the best players in the world, you know, participating on those. So they're going to have to, you know, work out what's going to be the process, what's going to be the economic penalty, other discipline for what, you know, Commissioner Monahan has said is disloyalty. You know, you agreed to play just for us, and now you're leaving. That will be an issue. I think the, you know, the government entity conducting the antitrust review, the antitrust division of the Department of Justice, is going to want to know, well, are there going to be, are these three tours going to continue to exist, even if they're under common control? I mean, you know, there's going to be some serious antitrust concerns if this is just, well, okay, Saudi Arabia is putting a bunch of money into that's going to benefit the PGA Tour. I think the European Tour is going to continue to exist. But what about the LIV Tour? Is that going to go away? Because particularly, is that a decision that Jay Monahan has the sole authority to make? And it might have been a thing, you know, where the marketplace decided, well, we prefer the PGA Tour over the LIV Tour, and we want to see all of the best players compete more in the format that, you know, the PGA Tour is traditionally done, where it's, you know, there's a cut made after the first 36 holes. It's why we typically have one major professional league for each team sport in the U.S. You know, what sorts of innovation might come about this? I guess there are some features of the PGA Tour that, you know, team golf, those sorts of things.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Matthew Mitten, Professor of Law, Executive Director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University, looking at the planned combination of LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, what it means beyond the world of sports.